Thanks for tuning into Radio 323. It's time for Power Players. This is your host, Ken Watmore. And during this program, we're going to talk to people about their stories, about how Christ has impacted their lives and what they're doing with the platform that he's given them. You and I have a story, and so does everybody else. And this is a show where we don't leave any stone unturned. We're talking to professional leaders from athletics, coaches, business leaders, entertainers, people like you and me. We all have a very unique testimony and an opportunity to share Christ with the world through it. So we're going to talk to people about just that, and hopefully you will be blessed by the next half hour or so. Sit back and enjoy the show, and then tune in every week, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock to hear Power Players Radio. Well, thanks for joining us. Here we are on Power Players, the radio ministry of Radio 323, and I have a great guest today, Dan McGowan. Dan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great also. Thanks very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Dan is a clean comedian. We'll unpack that in a minute, but he's one of, I guess, not too many clean comedians, don't you think, Dan?
You know, you're probably right. I mean, are you talking like in general, like in all of comedy, not that many clean comics?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. I mean, I can tell you this. I haven't seen that many clean comics, but you know, I suppose that around the globe, there may be a handful or two.
Yeah, there are. I think there's plenty of guys who are willing or able to work clean, and there's obviously a lot that aren't. It's just a different flavor. The way I look at it is it's just a different flavor of ice cream. Is a different option you can give people. Not everybody wants to be inundated with, you know, foul language all the time. And so I offer something different.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny stuff, man. I checked out the website. I want to encourage all the listeners to go to danmcgowan.com so that they can take a look at who you are. You can, if you've got corporate events, if you've got anything coming up, you can try and book Dan.
You can try. Try really hard to book Dan because it's pretty hard.
Well, no. your schedule's looking pretty full. I mean,
it is. I'm actually feeling very blessed about that. From January on, it was a little bit rocky, but things are picking up, and I'm excited.
That's cool. And also for our Colorado listeners, I want to let you know that tune into KYGO in the mornings because Dan is Dan the IT guy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm on KYGO 98.5 country station here in town, New Country. And my role on that show is I play a guy named Dan the IT guy. So I sort of just hang out with Kelly Ford and Ryder, and we banter around and have a lot of fun. And you know, I love it. I think it's a great opportunity, and they're fun people to be with. It's a great station, and I love being a part of what's going on there.
Definitely a great station and super popular in our state. Is this Dan the IT guy, is that a character that you had created prior to this, or how did that come about?
No, it's funny. I was coming in on Fridays just for fun. I know Kelly through a mutual comic friend who introduced us. And so I'd come in on Fridays, and then the program director pulled me aside one day and said, would you want to come in on a regular basis? I said, sure. And so it's kind of a very part-time thing. And I'm digging it. I love it. But, they kind of created this character for me to give me a reason to be in the room. So I wasn't just another guy, you know?
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of fun.
Well, that's cool, man. It's funny stuff for sure. And let me back up a little bit. Let's talk about who you are and everything. I want to just remind everybody, danmcgowan.com. Dan is a clean comedian. Dan's a Christian. Dan, you had told me in prior conversation that you came out here to Colorado to go to a church and lead worship. And I just want to kind of unpack where you come from.
Sure.
And how you got into this whole thing. But I'm going to shut up for a minute and let you talk.
Yeah, it's about time. No, I'm only kidding. I'd say, you know, 25 years ago or so, I began down a road of leading music and worship in churches. I'm from Southern California. That's where I grew up, in the LA area, Glendale, Burbank, and all that. And so I worked in churches out there, music and worship. And about 11, almost 12 years ago, I was invited to take the position at a church here in the Denver area, at a church in Aurora, actually. And so we moved. We came out here for that job, and I was there doing that full time up until about a year and a half ago. And what happened was all along the way, I mean, ever since I started doing leading music and worship in churches, I've always done some acting and some voiceover work and some writing and things like that kind of peripherally. And a long time ago, when I was like 19 or 20, I was doing comedy in L.A. for a little while. And I liked it, but I didn't have I just didn't have the smarts to stay with it back then. And so that's what got me into working in churches. And it really is. I mean, God opened up a door for me to work using my gifts in music and worship leading. And about 5 years ago, I began getting this itch again. I don't know if it was a midlife thing or what, but I just got this sense that I need to get back up doing comedy. And I did that. I went jumped through all the hoops you had to jump through in town to get up onto a stage. I think I had like 4 or 5 minutes or something to do a bit. And I'm telling you, after that first couple of laughs, I thought, this is it. I've got to do this. And there were two things that happened that were incredible. One was obviously the fulfillment of that gift and being able to use it to get people to laugh. But the other part of it was, having worked in churches for so many years, I was kind of in that bubble that we get into as believers. And suddenly I was faced with, you know, real human beings out there that don't go to church, who don't have any interest in God or Jesus or anything having to do with Christians, or maybe they've been burned by the church or whatever. And here I was face to face with them. And I never hid the fact that I was a Christian. I didn't, you know, slam it in their faces, but I didn't hide it. And I've developed some incredible friendships with some people who are comics, but who are not Christians. And I got to tell you, my eyes were open to what we're really called to do, to be like Jesus. It's it's all about building relationships and getting to know people and finding out how I can love them and serve them and, you know, accept them and all that. So that's kind of what this has done for me in the past few years. And about a year and a half ago, I said, you know, we prayed about this. My wife and I prayed about it. I went to the Lord and I just felt it was time to move out of professional ministry and see what doors are opening in terms of comedy and acting and all that, you know, the entertainment side of things.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, some big things happened right away. It looks like just going through your stuff. I mean, you were on, you know, national TV, you were on Last Comic Standing. But talk about that. How did that come about? Just coming from a worship leader to praying about being in comedy and all of a sudden you're on the show that's becoming one of the most popular shows out there.
Well, I think like anything, I don't think enough of us take risks, especially we artists, you know, because like we try something and then we fail and we think, I better give that up. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't given up that easily. There's been times I've thought of it, but I've not given up. And all the Last Comic Standing was, there were auditions in L.A. I went out. I still do every so often, but I did a lot back then. This really corny bit where I go up on stage with a rock and a stick. And I say, hey, let's start off with some music. Here's an old song. And then I bang them together. You know, it's an old song. So I did that on Last Comic Standing. And because it's such a dumb, you know, idiotic routine, it got a lot of coverage, a lot of airplay as, you know, anybody will do anything to get on Last Comic Standing, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't get too far in the show. But I mean, it was a great experience. And then I was on the next season. Just about as long of time, you know. But I like to tell people I was on Last Comic Standing just long enough to be able to say I was on Last Comic Standing. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, right.
No, but that bit's hilarious. That is super funny. And we're on the radio. It was funny on the radio. So it was great in person. You know, and it's, you had said something, when you get up there, being a musician myself, I like to think about it. This, if I go up and I do a song and it just blows, then, you know, the crowd usually gives me a little sympathy and will give me a clap. That's been a long time since I've done any of this. So I can never really tell, hey, was I all right during that song or did it really blow? But in comedy, man, if you blow, it's evident right away.
Oh, yeah.
Has that happened a lot?
Well, let's see. Has it happened a lot? You're qualifying it there. It has certainly happened. I mean, it's funny. There's so many. There are comics out there who will say, if you're really a pro comic, you can always make every audience laugh all the time. I know what they mean, and I'm sure they mean well, but I don't think that that's actually true. And the reason I think that is because there's so many parameters that come into play. It isn't just about, you know, how well have you crafted the jokes? What order did you put them in? Are you giving it all as you're performing? A lot of it is also the audience. Some audiences are just bad audiences. For whatever reason, they didn't bring funny with them into the room. I mean, I've done the exact same set, almost verbatim, let's say on a Friday to a Saturday. And Friday night, I could do nothing wrong. Everyone's rolling in the aisles. It's hilarious. And the next night, it's like crickets. So that tells me that, yeah, I probably didn't give it what I could have on that Saturday show. But there was also something going on with the audience. So I try to just kind of move on and not worry about it. Gee, they didn't laugh at that joke. I must be a terrible comic. No, I mean, you know, sometimes you just have an off night, you know.
Sure. I think I can see that happening. I can see that, you know, there's plenty of great comedians through the years, people that we would all, you know, everybody would say, oh, yeah, he's funny or she's funny. They're great. But I've seen them, and some nights they've just been not getting a warm reception. And then literally, I'm sure there's sometimes when you are a little off, too, and your timing might be off or something like that.
I mean, sure.
There's life, and we all factor that kind of stuff in. I do think, you know, from sitting on the outside, I'm not a comedian, not a funny guy. I think that to do what you do and make people laugh with clean comedy actually is harder from where I'm sitting, because you've got some parameters that you have to work with.
It's so funny. I mean, that comes up all the time. I mean, oftentimes people will say it must be more difficult to be a clean comic. And I certainly know what people mean when they ask that or say that. I don't know that I totally agree with that. Certainly there are a lot of it depends on the club. There are some comedy clubs that the audience just expects it to be filthy.
Right.
And
right.
So if you are filthy, then you're going to get laughs. And also some clubs are designed in such a way that you are right next to the other person. I mean, there's no space between you and the other person.
Right.
And then they fill you with booze or whatever. And so it's, you know, it's pretty hard to bomb in some of those places because laughter is so contagious.
Sure.
So I don't, you know, and obviously there's the other end of the spectrum where there are comics who rely on, you know, using foul language or whatever, like as if it's salt and pepper on a steak. I mean, they just drop it everywhere they can. And for them, it might become a crutch. And it's too bad that so many people, they'll laugh at idiotic cuss words. I mean, they'll laugh at them as if they're funny and they're not funny. So I guess that's a long way to say this. If you're going to call yourself a comic, then you need to figure out a way to craft content, whether it's, you know, one-liners or story jokes or whatever your shtick is, you know, craft that in a way that's funny. If it's not funny, then it doesn't matter if there's bad language in it or not. That's not going to make it more funny. Sure. It's just going to, you know. So for me, I'm always about the funny, and I try to be observational, and I think because of my life experiences and my age and all that, I try to bring stuff in that I hope will relate to most of the people in the audience. You know, usually it does, sometimes it doesn't, and you just kind of go with it, you know?
Sure. And that makes sense to me. And actually, as you were talking and I'm thinking about that, I'm like, well, you know, as a Christian, I don't find offensive comedy funny anymore, because it's like in your face offensive, where, you know, I used to probably laugh at all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's Eddie Murphy funny, and then there's Eddie Murphy vulgar. You know, I mean, there's
exactly. And you know, one of the things that I have tried to develop in my life, and I don't know where if I'm good at this or not, but one of the things I'm trying to develop as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I'm trying to become somebody who is building more bridges instead of walls, because my experience on working in churches for so many years has it's kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. I don't mean that in a horrible way, but far too many of our peers are so eager to judge one another. And I don't know if we mean to do that. I don't think it's mean-spirited. It's just sort of how we go through life, you know, like as if we're a notch above other people. And in many cases, we're not. I mean, we're just as vulnerable to sin as anybody else. And it's just not as out there. We hide it better, you know.
Yeah.
But so one of my whole things is I want to try to build bridges. And this is why, like, if I hear a comic tell a joke that is incredibly funny and there's some, I don't know, a foul language in it, or maybe the content isn't as pure as it could be, if that joke was funny, I don't have a problem with it, to be honest with you. I don't feel that we need to, like, be totally pure with every single thing. I hope that doesn't sound wrong. But I mean, because we live in a real world where real people exist, and I want those people to know that I still accept them and love them, even though they may have a lifestyle or a vernacular that I don't agree with or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I definitely understand that for sure. So, and I think that there is real life funny. I mean, the human body is a funny thing, and there's some things where some people may think it's offensive, but it's really not over the top. And you may make a joke, or, you know, I mean,
I think so much of it is, so much of it is in how you do it. One thing I've been learning in radio, and you'll appreciate this, is, you know, how do you say something that might be a little sarcastic or whatever, but you say it with a wink so that the people still like you, that you don't come off as some grouchy, arrogant jerk, you know, you know, the way you come off, you know. No, I'm only kidding. You're totally kidding. But I mean, that's what I've been learning. And so I'm trying to bring that into my comedy. I'm overweight. I'm a likable looking guy. I'm kind of fun. When people look at me, I think that they see, you know, fun. They don't view me as like this angry, you know, arrogant guy. That's what I'm guessing. You know, and so that goes a long way. That nice guy thing can go a long way in comedy.
Sure. Oh yeah, I bet. And you know what? You are a likable looking guy. It's a, that, you know, it's a great thing. Great thing to be blessed with, for sure. So let me.
Yes, yes, I am very blessed. Thank you. Yes, right. Yeah, blessed being a likable-looking guy. Thank you.
So here, I'll run down a couple questions for you real quick.
Sure.
All right, Napoleon Dynamite, funny, not funny?
Funny. I think it's hilarious. I think it's a very, very funny, well-written, you know, slapstick kind of a film. It's not, you know, Chariots of Fire, or, you know, some, it's not like, that's a great reference to Chariots of Fire. It's not Gone with the Wind. It's not some amazing masterpiece, but I found it very funny.
Nacho Libre.
There's a joke in our house with that movie. I can't stand that movie.
Really?
I really can't. And I don't know why exactly, but it's so funny. It's such a joke in our home that I think it was Christmas last year, one of my sons bought me that as a Christmas present. Because, you know, I don't like it. Don't like that movie.
Well, it's funny because in my home, it's, I would say, similar. I even have the Nacho Libre ringtone on my phone. I'm almost embarrassed to say it.
That's funny.
But I was looking for one line out of the movie, you know, so I go and download the app that has all the Nacho Libre quotes.
Yeah.
Except the one that I wanted. So I have it, but I don't have the quote that I wanted. But I thought that movie was funny at times, side splitting, but then the rest of the movie sucked. Pretty much the same thing for me with Napoleon Dynamite. Funny in a couple spots that made me want to own the movie, but only for a couple spots.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was good. I thought it was clever. It's a very strange way to make a film, and because of that, I like it.
Yeah.
So how about this? Favorite movie?
Of all time?
Yeah, doesn't have to be funny.
Yeah, no. And this is a great question. I'll tell you the three that I vacillate between, okay?
Okay.
I bounce around between Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Wow.
Because I've seen that film so many times, and I think it's the best, it's easily the best Western, in my opinion, that's ever been written. So I like that film. I love The Odd Couple, the film version with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. I just think Neil Simon was amazing in the writing of that.
Funny movie.
And it's an incredible film. And if, I know it's an older film, I think it's 67. It came out. If people haven't seen it, you need to rent it and see it. It's not like the TV show, you know, see the movie. And, Shawshank Redemption is an incredible film for me. I love that film. There's so many parts about it that I love. So those three I kind of bounce around with.
Okay, now, favorite funny movie. Would you go to the Back to the Odd Couple for that one?
I don't know. That's no, I wouldn't. My favorite funny movie has got to be It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yeah.
The 1960.
The original.
Yeah, I think it was 64 or something. Yeah, incredible film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you say the original, because when Rat Race came out, I'm assuming that's what you're alluding to, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people made that connection, but obviously that was that film, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Many people probably don't even know that there was the It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. Or however.
Right. I mean, that was Kubrick. I felt that was just such a great film. From front to end, flawless. It was a great film.
All right. So I just wanted to get sidetracked for a minute so I could kind of hear a little bit more about you and your taste.
Sure.
Humor.
Sure.
Where it comes from, maybe. So let's go even deeper than that. I know that in your bio, it talks about you coming from a family of entertainers. Does the humor come from mom or dad? Or let's talk about your household growing up. And then even to get into the real meat and potatoes of my show, which is, you know, is it a Christian family? When did you become a Christian? Tell me about you a little bit more.
Yeah, I will. I guess it's kind of a cliche story. My folks were nightclub entertainers. So when I was growing up, they were busy on the road a lot. When I was very young, they would be out traveling. My dad was a piano player, singer. My mom is a singer and drummer. like cocktail kind of drums. And so they did that as a duo. They, at times they were a trio, a quartet, you know, I had a jazz combo, different things. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of music around my house, but because of that lifestyle, and we're talking the '60s here. And so it was kind of a chaotic time anyway.
Right.
And so there was a lot of chaos in my home growing up, just very, you know, I mean, I guess the word today is dysfunctional, but I would just call it screaming and yelling. But there was a lot of there was a lot of dysfunction in that home. And so that, you know, I think obviously the music helped that, but also my personality was developing as a funny kind of a guy. And that was always a great way to kind of escape from that. And that usually took place with my friends. And so, I mean, from as young as I can remember, whether it was grade school or whatever, I was making people laugh. And I was really known for that as I grew up. I was the class clown or whatever, you know. Sure. It was not a Christian home. Both my parents had grown up Catholic and I think had very damaging issues in their life because of that. My mom actually was on her way to become a nun and then suddenly got the acting bug. And I don't know how that she made that 180, but she went out to Hollywood and did a little bit of acting. And
wow.
And that's where she met my dad. And so, yeah, very different from nun actress. Okay. There we go. So anyway,
Sally Field did it.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's good. So finally, it was interesting. I mean, so because of that, we had kind of a chaotic relationship, especially with my dad. And it wasn't until probably, I'm going to say maybe 8 or 9 years ago that my dad and I were able to sort of reconnect and soften up the hardness and all that. And then he got pretty sick about 5 years ago. And I remember going to see him and talking with him. And I just, it was one of those things, you know, you got nothing to lose. So I tried to bring him back to conversations about Christ and this and that. And about that time, in that year, he did make a profession of faith. Hmm. And it was about 2 years later that he passed away. So I felt like, I mean, it wasn't like this major, you know, gutter to glory kind of a thing. He still had his rough edges at 75 or whatever he was, you know.
Sure.
But he did make that profession. And that was... For me, that was an amazing thing because now I feel pretty confident, like 100% confident, that I'll see him again in glory and it'll be a very different kind of relationship, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what about you? If you come out of that household and when is it, is there a point when you
yes.
go, man, I got to see who this Jesus is?
Yeah. What happened was I got to know, hey, there was a kid up the street from me and we went to the school together, obviously. When I was 12 years old, they were attending a Presbyterian church in Glendale, California, where we lived, and they invited me to a church camp. So I went to the church camp. I heard the gospel message. It was one of those things where you throw a stick in the fire, you know, and that's you're getting rid of your sins and all that. But what made sense to me there in those conversations and in the gospel presentation was that here was a being who I think I always had sort of this connection to God. You know, there was always this desire to be a good boy and all that as I was growing up. And so that it all kind of came into focus as he talked about Christ. And so I went with my counselor. We went out to this rock bed, this riverbed thing. And I gave my life to Christ when I was 12 years old. And you know, I've never had a problem since. It's amazing. I'm kidding. Yeah. So I did that when I was 12. And what really happened for me, I'd say when I was about, 21 or 22, somewhere in there, is when I became much more aware of the Holy Spirit's interaction and impact in our lives, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's when things really solidified and began to become more crystal clear for me that it wasn't just about knowing Jesus as my Savior and going to church and being in all the productions and all that. There was something deeper, and I wanted to be that guy who allowed the Holy Spirit to work in my life and operate as freely as I allow him to operate, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, for me, that was life transforming, you know, and I think that's what really opened the doors for me to use my gifts and so forth to be in the church as a music and worship leader. And, you know, did that for many years and kind of had a growing distaste for that after a while, because I began to see how so many of us, and I don't know why we're like this, but so many of us get so complaining and everything. I mean, and music is such a hotbed of negative stuff in churches, which is insane to me. It's worship, it's music, but it gets people screaming and yelling. I do a joke about how, you know, like the big thing in churches still is, are we going to do praise choruses or hymns? You know, who's going to win that battle?
Right.
And so I talk about how I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be ushered into this big room and this angel's going to stand up before us and he's going to say, you know, you've all been arguing so long about hymns and choruses. Actually, he kind of likes Wayne Newton. You know, like maybe we could stop worrying about that so much and just focus on, you know, who it is we're worshiping.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. This is a, it's funny how the, you know, in church, gosh, I love my church, and I've been to plenty of churches I love, and I think this is probably a common thread across the globe, and that's that we find the very smallest things to complain about and miss the point.
Yeah,
so often. But in good, in the good news is that plenty of times too, God kind of resolves that and fills the room with His Spirit, and you're just kind of overwhelmed with learning about what we're really supposed to be there for. Thank God for that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I like to call that focusing on who, not how, because we do miss the boat sometimes. We're so focused on should we use PowerPoint, should we have smoke screens or whatever, you know, should we have laser shows, you know, should we only have the organ, should we only do hymns? And the whole time it's like, well, how about if we just focus on why we're even here, then let the rest of it, you know, take care of itself.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, man, what's coming up for you next besides the radio show? Is radio shows Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. is the show.
98.5 FM, KYGO.
98.5 KYGO, Denver's new country. Yeah, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. We do, obviously, there's a lot of country music, and we have some funny stuff we do in there. We also have serious stuff. You know, that station has such a connection to the community, and so it's fun to be a part of it. I really like it. Comedy-wise, I'm performing this coming weekend on Sunday, August 8th, I'm going to be in Yuma, Colorado, doing a big festival out there. And then I have a few other corporate things in August that I'm doing. I'm not sure when I'm on a comedy stage, like a club here in town, but most August is mainly filled up with corporate kind of stuff. So yeah, banquets and fundraisers and that sort of thing, which I love. I mean, I love doing those, and people will hire me for those because I work clean.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And you know, I do want to tell everybody again, you can go to danmcgowan.com. And
it's now how's that spelled? That's DanMcGowan.com.
Yeah, so then you can follow along and find out when you're on stage next. And then you just got off the stage. Last thing here, you were at Heaven Fest this weekend. Heaven Fest is just I think 3 years old now in Colorado, the largest now Christian music festival that I'm aware of. It's a one-day event, and on Saturday they put 43,000 people on the field there.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was a huge event, tons of bands, and there were three of us comics who performed, and I was one of them, and we had a great time. I mean, the tent was filled for the comedy show each of the times we were all up. That probably has more to do with how hot it was. They wanted to get in for the heat, but that's okay. I mean, they came in, and we laughed and had a great time, but yeah, that was a wonderful event. I really liked it a lot.
Good deal, man.
And all ages were there, which I like too. I love when all ages are at things like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's great. And one of the coolest things about, you know, being clean is that you can people of all ages can enjoy what you do, and
exactly.
It's really no holds barred.
And I've done a lot of we didn't mention this, and we don't have to necessarily, but I've done a lot of songwriting also. That's been a part of my past. I've written many songs for large publishers who do VBS programs like Gospel Light, Standard Publishing, Lifeway, and different groups like that, group publishing. And so because I have such a backlog of songs, if I see a lot of kids in an audience, let's say at a church show that I'm doing, you know, I'll just switch things up and make sure I do stuff to include the kids as well.
Absolutely. Well, and let me just throw this in. Can you we know that you're going to do corporate events. We know that you can do banquets and things like that. Let's just throw a couple out there to be sure. Are you open for a bar mitzvah?
A bar mitzvah. I'll go anywhere that people want to laugh. I performed for it was like a Middle Eastern group, and I don't remember what the nationality was that they were from, but that one didn't go over so well, only because I don't think they understood me. You know, the guy hired me, and he even had me come and audition for him. I did my entire show for this guy in a park, which was kind of odd, but he wanted to audition me. So he said, "Oh, you'll be great." You know, so I go to this thing, and I don't think anybody knew what I was saying. So there's some things I'm learning because of the language difference I probably shouldn't do, you know.
Well, but go ahead. Sorry.
I'm just going to say, I'll go. I mean, if people want to laugh and they think I'm the right guy to do that, I'll go and perform. You know, why not?
Yeah.
I've done private parties. I've done, you know, like 40th and 50th birthday parties in people's homes. If somebody wants to give me money to come and tell them jokes and we all have a great time, I'm all over that.
Right. Well, and you got me laughing on that because, see, this is why I'm not a comedian, because I actually was trying to go down this little joke line there. And
Bar mitzvahs?
Well, the bar mitzvah is going to go into, you know, the whole kid's birthday party and then ship christenings and all that stuff. And it's just not funny. It's just,
yeah,
it's funnier that I fell on my face. That's funny.
Well, you know, you might want to fine tune those jokes just a little bit. You know, we'll work on your delivery, you know.
Right. Don't do it with a comic on the other line.
Well, I don't know about that, but,
well,
you know.
Maybe.
I guess I should have been nice and laughed. Bar mitzvah.
Ken, I'm going to use that.
I may use it. Yeah.
Well, Dan McGowan, danmcgowan.com, KYGO, Dan the IT guy. It's been really fun having you on the show. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks, man. This has been great. And you do such a great job of asking questions. So just wanted to kind of uplift you there. Since you sort of bombed on the comedy thing, you do a great job of asking questions. And you're really good at that. So,
hey, what color is your shirt?
Right. Today it's black. I'm wearing black because I feel heavy today. So I'm wearing black because it's so thinning, you know.
Yeah, I'm feeling heavy too, man.
Yeah, we'll go right. Get a black shirt. You'll be fine.
I'm wearing one. No, not. It's green. It's dark green.
Yeah, okay.
All right, man. We'll talk to you again soon. Everybody,
thanks for having me on, man. Really appreciate it.
DanMcGowan.com. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps another edition of Power Players Radio. Thanks for joining us again. You can listen to the program Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. right here on Radio 323. And if you missed a show, go to the website, radio323.com. Subscribe to our podcast. You can always get the programs downloaded right into your iTunes through the podcast, or you can go to our archives page at the same location, radio323.com. Go to the archives page and see any show you might have missed or any show you didn't know existed. It might be there. Check it out. See who we've had on the program, and then give us your feedback. Drop me an email anytime, ken@project323.org. I'd love to hear from you, and keep tuning in to Radio 323 for all this great programming. Help support our ministry if you would. You can go online also and make a secure donation, one time or a recurring monthly donation. We appreciate your support. Keep this very unique Christian programming coming at you. We combine all the elements of Christian radio right here in one place. Talk, sports, music, study, family programming. We put it all in one spot. You don't have to go from dial to dial, and you can listen in while you're surfing the web or while you're working. It's always safe to stream. Again, we appreciate you so much here on Radio 323, and we'll look forward to having you tune in again tomorrow.